Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had gold. Well, it's off its low of the day, clawing its way back, but still in the red for the day. 1090. 1090 for gold. Down 460. We had a hovering around that 1100 mark earlier in the day. Silver was down 5 at 1390. You have platinum down 7 at 840. And palladium also down 7 at $474. If you were holding any palladium, it was, when we told you to sell, when it was hovering around that $700 level, it would have been a good trade. Some of that palladium into gold. So hope you did it. And for those of you that did, that was a good trade. Congratulations. And we have the USDX today up 0.11 at 98.95. Crude oil down 0.79 at 30.62. Big drop today in the oil prices and the paper markets today. They were all over the page. Early morning trade, they were down, turned around, up, and we're looking at a strong end, strong finish to the day with the Dow up 117 points at 16,516. And the NASDAQ was up 47, up 1% at 46.85. The S&P is up 15 at 1938. 10-year yield. Nobody's interested in any bonds. 2.10% down 0.06. The euro 109, still holding at that level. Germany was up almost 1.75%. London was up almost 1%. And I didn't see what China did overnight. I'd almost have to expect that they were higher. Let me see if I can pull that up here quickly. If I can do anything quickly on the computer, it
just turn the hand crank faster.
There's
turn
Germany.
The hand crank faster.
There's
it go faster.
Spain, Hong Kong, up 6 points, 3,022. If I had to call a good market for the Shanghai, I'd say probably 2,000 is where I think it's going to be heading here, and they're not too distant future, but should probably range between 1500 and 2000, but we'll see where it heads. But a little change there, so I guess they're taking a breather for the day. So kind of an up and down day in the markets.
Yeah, but it's scary in the oil business.
That's,
you know, coming down to that $30 mark. Earlier today, it was $30.14 mm-hmm. at one point. I don't know if a drop might even drop below 30, and I didn't catch it. But that $30 per barrel mark strikes me as a not just a significant mathematical number; it's a significant psychological number. If they can drop below $30 per barrel, I don't know what's going to happen after that. This has to be pretty frightening for people in the oil business. And, you know, everyone is going to cheer that we're having cheaper gasoline and whatever. But we'll see how long that lasts, and we'll see if the time is coming when we don't have any gasoline. Now, I don't expect that to actually happen, but this is just insane. I mean, the oil-producing nations are literally cutting their own throats. This whole thing has been caused because people insist on producing more oil than the market can consume. It's insanity. You understand? All these people have to do to jack the price of oil back up again is cut production. And it won't happen automatically. There's such a glut of supply right now. It'd probably stop. They could perhaps stop producing oil completely. I mean, you know, right now, and it might be, who knows, a month or two before we run out of the current supply and the current glut and we begin to see prices rise. I don't know if it's, you know, it might be more than that. It might be less. But the point is, this is a self-induced affliction. The oil producers aren't turning off production. This is as crazy as McDonald's continuing to, you know, manufacturing hamburgers in the back room, even though there's nobody there to buy them. Well, we'll just produce 1,000 hamburgers. Stupid.
It's very much like how the builders, contractors, why do they build? Because they have to. They're so in debt to they borrow everything. They're so in debt that they have to continue to build in order to satisfy the banks to show that their money is going so forth. But yet we see, you know, office complexes that are vacant. We see, you know, apartment complexes that are vacant. You know, we'll see strip malls that are vacant and they're fairly new. They build because they have to. And it's very much like the oil industry. They keep pumping because they have to. And it's a strange and bizarre world. I can remember 20 years ago, we talked about oil going to $50, how it would destroy the economies of the world. Well, it had to go to $150 for it to really destroy, if anybody remembers what happened when oil was $150 and gasoline prices were, you know, $5, $6, $7, and, you know, pretty much brought the trucking industry to a halt, and there was severe situations that were happening. It was short-lived. Price of oil started to drop. Gasoline prices started to come down, and a lot of that was just done in paper trading and push those prices up there, but it had the, you know, it had the domino effect, the ripple effect of high gasoline prices and everything else. So it's, you know, $30 is $30 is $30 oil when we expected $50 to bring the, you know, bring the world markets down. Here we're at $30. So what's the real price of oil?
Well,
where should it really be? $30 might
not
be.
Maybe Saudi Arabia may be able to produce this stuff for a few dollars a barrel.
I heard they could.
Yeah. So they're not, I mean, even at 30, they're not making $100 a barrel, but they're still making, who knows, 20 times the price of whatever it costs them to pull the oil out of the ground, or at least 10 times. That's a pretty good return on your dollar. 1,000% on your investments or on your costs, solid 1,000% profit. Saudi Arabia should be doing okay, but at least on a percentage basis. But I don't know how much oil they're selling. It may be that they're not selling much right now. It doesn't matter if you're making 1,000% or 10,000% on a sale if you're only selling one barrel a year. You know, hey, I'm making 1,000%. How many are you selling? One. You know, well, that's not that big a deal. You know, that's not cause for celebration. They're still in a bind. I've got an article here from Reuters that's interesting to me. It parallels what we're talking about. And the headline is, Nigeria says a couple of OPEC members have requested emergency meeting. Again, this is from Reuters. It says, Nigeria's oil minister said on Tuesday that a couple, they didn't say how many, a couple of members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, had requested an emergency meeting, adding that current market conditions, when crude oil was down to $30.13 a barrel when I was first reading this, support the need for such a meeting. Benchmark Brent crude oil futures were trading at less than $31 per barrel on Tuesday, their lowest level since April of 2004. That's 11 years. Actually 12, going on 12. And have shed almost three quarters of their value since mid-2014. The meeting could take place in February or March. We don't know if it's going to happen or not. Much will depend on the attitude of OPEC heavyweight Saudi Arabia, which has resisted calls for a cut in production to help boost prices. So my point to this, the reason this little headline and article struck me as significant, at least some members of OPEC are finally at a point where they are openly being strangled by these low prices. And they say this requires, the solution is an emergency meeting. That means OPEC is going to start to crack. They see themselves as in an emergency. This isn't a challenge. This isn't, well, you know, an interesting contest. This is an emergency. Some of these countries are going to, without more money, they can't buy their people. They can't support their people. They can expect political revolutions. You know, no telling where this is going to end for some of these countries. It's likely to be very difficult times if somebody doesn't resolve this quickly. And as I said before, this whole thing is self-induced. The oil-producing nations are doing this to themselves because nobody will or can cut production at this point. This is like Charlie Sheen hanging out with his goddesses who were former porn stars and claiming to be surprised being surprised that he comes down with AIDS. This is self-induced, self-destructive behavior, and now people are saying, oh my gosh, it's an emergency.
Well, the last memo that was sent out, Lyndon LaRouche, the one on the Christmas Eve, where he talks about the $5 trillion that is attached to the oil and shale industry. You had banks that had to up their reserves to offset the defaults of loans due to this industry, because so many of those, you know, here in the States, as far as these oil companies that borrowed in order to drill, they can't pay their loans. You know, they're going to default. I mean, this is certainly, we look at these these OPEC members having their problems, but we also see what can happen to the banks that are attached to the oil industry. $5 trillion derivatives, and then you want to know how that ripples down and creates and has a contagion to other industries and so forth. So
the yield, according, I've got another article here that touches on the same thing. We'll go into it. Bond markets are forecasting future weakness in stocks while investors are running out of options. We'll go through this from the beginning in a moment, but just right now, they're talking about junk bonds. They say, according to data from the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, the yield on corporate junk debt rated CCC or below has more than doubled. Now, I don't know that the bank, that the bonds in the oil business are CCC or below. I don't know if that's true or false, but they are deemed to be high yield and or junk bonds. All right? And what they're telling us here is that the yield on corporate junk debt rated CCC or below has more than doubled since mid-2014 climbing to 18.4% in January, this month. We've got, this is interesting, in a world where the Federal Reserve has been trying to maintain a near zero interest rate, and the junk bonds are paying 18.4%. That's just curious to me, as a divergence between the Fed said we need near zero, and reality, at least on junk bonds, is 18.4%. And they go on and say the last time this level was reached was just after the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy in September of 2008, when yields eventually soared to just above 45%. I don't know. You know, I mean, this article about bonds, this to me is the story on bonds, strikes me as the big story. It's not news per se. It's not something that just turned up in the last week or two. But the bond market is in trouble. All right? Doesn't mean it's going to crash, but it's in trouble. And to me, that's probably the key to the whole system. We live in a debt-based monetary system. We have a debt-based economy. And what that ultimately means is somebody's got to go into debt in order to fuel this monster. We don't have an asset-based economy. We used to have an asset-based monetary system, and the assets were gold and silver. Now we have a debt-based, completely different thing. If we want to get richer in today's debt-based monetary system, the more debt you have, in theory, the richer you are. And a lot of people say that's crazy talk, but look at the house you're living in. For most people, that house was paid with debt. You didn't buy that house. You went into debt to have the house. Your credit rating, your ability to go into debt, allows you to live in a $250,000 house, a $500,000 house, a $5 million or a $50 million house. It's a reflection of your ability to go into debt. Same thing with a new car. It's all about, for most people, very few people pay cash. Most buy with debt. If we can't go into debt, how does the economy survive? How does a debt-based economy survive if people can't go into debt? And when we see trouble in the bond markets, that's the primary source of debt. The premier debt in the debt-based monetary system are U.S. Treasuries. If the bond markets are locking up, where no one is putting up cash, where the government can go deeper into debt, we have a problem. This is not going to be easily surmounted. I mean, if we can't go deeper into debt because the bond markets are locked up, then the economy is going to collapse. And it may even crash to the point where people are going to say, where did we ever get this dumb idea about having a debt-based monetary system and a debt-based economy? That's crazy. Let's go back to gold and silver. I'm not going to bet that's going to happen anytime soon, but that's the logic of it. That's where we should be going.
I think it's going to happen sooner than you think, Al.
It may be. I can't give a prediction on it. I certainly can't give you a prediction. But it's it's rational. It's logical. We're going to see a situation where we can't go deeper into debt. If we can't go deeper into debt, the whole thing's going to collapse. A debt-based monetary system can't work if we can't go deeper into debt. And if the bond markets are folding up, it's evidence that corporations and governments can't go deeper into debt. We'll talk more about this when we come back from a commercial break. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about bond markets.
And we got this caller. Do you want to do Jim before we go on?
All right. If we have to. Jim, what have you got for us?
Hi, Jim.
I'm sorry. yeah. The bond market, if the governments are the elephants in the room, the bond market is the bomb in the basement. Okay, yeah. Now you've touched on part of it, but wait till the municipal bonds start going out. State and local government bonds start going. A little company
in the article, it says they already are.
Yeah, exactly.
It says it was December was the worst month in 2015 for new municipal debt, meaning the credit crisis has affected the ability of state and local governments to fund their operations. They don't mention... This entire article is odd in the sense that it doesn't mention anything about the U.S. government being affected. But if you, little oversight there. But if the bond markets are in trouble, so is the government that depends on debt. If they can't borrow more money, how are they going to continue to fund all their programs and promises?
Absolutely. Now let's add on to that. Little bonds called CDO, collateralized debt obligation bonds. fabrications. SIV, structured investment vehicle. MBS, mortgage-backed security. God help us. Earl Jones bonds. Add on to that. A little company called AMBAC went belly up 4 years ago. A large number has confused me. 3 or 4 years ago. They insured a whole lot of municipal bonds. And one of the best-kept hush-hush things is, don't tell anybody. Now, a lot of people who bought these bonds are the institutionals. the retirement fund people, the insurance companies.
Yep.
They're just pretending they're still okay. But, folks, it is the bomb in the basement. The fuse is lit. Matter of fact, there are three or four fuses lit going into this bomb. So you're exactly right now. How it all shakes out, I don't know. But it is crashing as we speak. Nobody pays attention to it because, well, bonds have this artificial sense of security. Another artificial sense of security. And I became aware of this 20 years ago. A fellow who truly was an insider in the Pentagon and Washington and the Wall Street, and I mean, he had connections. He did not live in this country. But he said, listen, beware, not all, but beware, a lot of mutual funds. It's just another curtain behind which the manipulators can manipulate investments, rob the municipal fund by putting junk in there so that when things go crashing down, the municipal bond, municipal funds won't be worth anything. Did I say all of them? No. But, folks, you name me one single safe investment outside of tangible items. Gold and silver being the most compact method of storing things. So all I'm saying is the bond situation is a whole lot worse. Well, I think that pretty much capped it off. Thanks, bud. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank
you, Jim. Thanks,
I think
Jim.
Part of the reason that the bond market is not appreciated by most people is that very few individuals invest in the bond market. It's primarily a place where institutions go. Individuals, if you're going to invest, we tend to be in the stock markets more so than the bond markets, and therefore we don't pay attention to the bond markets. It's not part of a, you know, it's not as if everybody invests in the stock market, but at least you talk about it, you could invest. But we don't have any family members typically who are directly invested in the bond market. They may be indirectly invested insofar as they have a pension fund, and the pension fund is knee-deep in bonds, or maybe they're up to their ears in bonds. But the bonds are the source of the credit, and that's what's required to drive a debt-based monetary system. And if this bond market goes down, and they're worried about it right now, they're concerned about it, this thing goes down, the debt-based monetary system is in deep, deep trouble. All right, let me just, we'll go through a little bit more of this right now. Credits, the article says credit leads equities. That's not entirely true. You could also say debt leads equities. All right, credit is kind of the positive side of debt, but the two of them are two sides of the same coin. Despite their ominous start in 2016, U.S. stocks might have much more room to move to the downside in the coming weeks and months based on several indications in the credit markets, which are rapidly deteriorating. When he says credit markets, they mean the bond markets. New corporate debt issuance has been in negative territory since September of 2015. December was the worst month in 2015 for new municipal debt issuance, meaning the credit crisis has affected the ability of state and local governments to fund their operations. Huh? Monday, Puerto Rico skipped $37 million in bond payments. Well, millions don't matter much anymore. I don't know that that's a, it's an interesting story. It's an interesting idea. Is $37 million a lot of money anymore? I don't know. Separately, state of Alaska is considering personal income tax for the first time in 35 years. Alaska, which is largely funded by crude oil revenues, has suffered decreases in tax revenue concurrent with a decline in the price of oil. So they're thinking about raising a personal income tax, evidence that they can't borrow enough money to keep running. They can't get enough money out of the oil business. They're going to actually have to raise income taxes out there. We might expect something similar out of the federal government. I'm not betting on it, but we might. Smaller oil drillers must tap the high yield junk, you know, when they say high yield debt market, they mean the junk bonds, to fund their capital-intensive operations, and many are not profitable when crude is under $65 a barrel, and it's down in near 30. More expensive for, as the currently the fallout from the drop in the price of oil has roiled credit markets across the world. Why? Because because the oil companies took out a plethora of bonds. That's how they do business. But they took them out when the price of crude oil was over $100 a barrel. And they said, well, the price of crude oil is $100 a barrel. And we expect it to go to 120. So we'll now have no trouble paying off this bond. Well, now what are they going to do? They took bonds out when crude oil was $100 a barrel, and they have to pay it off when crude oil is $30 a barrel. You can imagine this is a strain that many of them won't be able to stand. And as a result, they will default on a significant number of bonds. Then the question becomes, how many bonds have to be defaulted on by the oil industry before they have a domino effect that really impacts many, perhaps most of the bonds in the whole bond industry? I don't know. I can't answer the question. But it's clear that if the oil companies are going to default on a bunch of their bonds, a bunch of bonds are going to turn out to be worthless. Some bonding companies are going to probably be impaired. Hard to say where this is going to go, but all of this is making it more expensive for corporations and governments to fund their operation.
Plus, now these bonds are used by derivatives as assets too. So you're affecting the derivative market too. But that's
fantastic. Yep. I mean, some people guesstimate that there are over $1 quadrillion in bonds. Some estimates have run as high as $2 quadrillion in not bonds, derivatives. Right. In a world where the total gross domestic product for the world is something like $60 trillion a year. We have issued more derivatives. We have more derivatives out there. They're almost 20 times as many derivatives. In turn, the dollar value of the perceived dollar value of the derivatives is 20 times the annual gross domestic product of the world. This isn't possible. Do you understand that in a real world, in a rational world, this can't be? We have created some kind of an artificial world, an artificial economy, a fictional economy where things like a quadrillion dollars worth of derivatives, oh, yeah, that's right. That's reasonable. That's rational, sure. This is as reasonable and rational as me claiming to have 400,000 tons of gold in a shoebox in my closet. It's not possible. And yet, we are living in a world. I mean, this is analogous. We are caught in a world where we are like the people in that fabled community where the emperor is running around allegedly in invisible clothes. And everybody's saying, oh, my gosh, look, the emperor. he's just the most stylish guy around here. I mean, look at the cloak. Oh, that's a magnificent cloak you're wearing there. And some little kid comes up, hey, that guy's naked. We're in that world right now. We are those people. We're living in a world where nobody blinks at the idea of a quadrillion dollars, maybe $2 quadrillion worth of derivatives. Negative interest rates. That's reasonable. That's rational. I'm going to give my money to a bank, and the bank is going to charge me for holding it.
Because that's safe.
Supposedly.
Yes,
if they don't bail in, if the bank doesn't get into trouble, first they take you for negative interest rates, and then if they fold up, there's bail-ins where they take all of it. They don't just take -2% or -0.2% or 0.3%. They take it all. And we, the people, are standing around, oh, yeah, you know, that boy, that emperor sure knows how to dress, doesn't he? He's really stylish. No, he's nude. You understand? What else? What else have we got? We've got a list of subprime mortgages. This whole system is mad. It's crazy. It's debt-based monetary system. You know, if you stop to think about it, you say, my God, that is so crazy. How could we ever get to that? We got to it just like the people in that fable where they say, oh, yeah, the emperor's well-dressed. Open your eyes, folks. We are living in a situation that is unreal, irrational, fictional, false, fraudulent, and certain to collapse. It's going to happen, but what's going to happen today? I'm not betting that. Might last a year, might go down next week. I don't know when it's going to happen. But it is inevitable, in my opinion, the fundamental fallacy, the fundamental premise on which this whole system is based is the idea that we can use a debt-based monetary system. I regard that as a kind of insanity. And how they foisted that off on the world, I mean, this is one of the great mysteries of all times. And we're sitting around here with the idea that 60 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. They used to say, well, you know, everybody in France thinks something is the case. They say, oh, that must be the truth. And we look around and say, well, everybody's accepting the debt-based monetary system. I mean, what could be wrong with that? We've got 300 million Americans that accept it, and I don't know, 500 million in Europe, and God knows how many millions or billion in China. It must be okay because everybody's doing it. Right? Everybody is complimenting the emperor on what a magnificent wardrobe he has when, in fact, he is bare-ass naked. We're doing that right now. And if you don't get away from all of these illusions and fantastic ideas and begin to protect yourself, I mean, you're going to have to protect yourself. You can't just sit back and rely on the rest of the morons who are still looking at the emperor and congratulating him on how well-dressed he is. If you're going to rely on these people, well, everybody says he's well-dressed. I guess he must be. I'll say so, too. You got to open your eyes, open your ears, pay attention and say, look, what is true? What is logical? What is right? And it's easier said than done. I get that. But you're still going to have to make the effort because this whole thing is teetering on the edge. You know, one in this article on talking about bonds, it says this is particularly relevant for equities. They're talking about a rising interest rate on bonds, 18% on the junk bonds now, maybe going up to 45% as they did in 2008. This is particularly relevant for equities amidst the backdrop of Federal Reserve rising interest rates. Raising interest rates in 2016, the market for corporate debt dries up and companies cannot raise funds at reasonable yields. They must issue more stock, which issues a downward pressure on the stock market, which as the Dow Jones Industrial, such as the Dow Jones and the S&P 500, meaning prices are going down, index is going down because there's not enough credit in the bond market to support this thing. While it remains to be seen whether or not the current market downturn will devolve into a full-scale bear market, investors are facing fewer choices in both equities and fixed income. As the CEO of Volvo P. Gillenhammer famously said the stock market crash of 1987, cash is king. Cash was king. That was also the mantra during the Great Depression. If we are in an era where cash is king, that's a sign that we're already in what may be the Greater Depression. Plus, bear in mind that during the Great Depression, the cash that was king, everybody knows this, we've heard this, cash was king during the Great Depression. Even though we had paper dollars, that's true, the real cash that was king was always backed by gold, at least from 1929 to 1933. And or was backed by silver throughout the Great Depression. In other words, the cash that was king during the Great Depression was not paper, fiat dollars. It was gold for the first 4 years of the Great Depression and silver throughout the entire period of the Great Depression, which implies, it doesn't prove it, but it implies that if the stuff hits the fan and we are going into the Greater Depression, the cash that will be king, if we go into a situation similar to the Great Depression, the cash that will be king will be gold and silver. It won't just be paper. People think that it was paper now. It must have been paper then. It wasn't paper then. It was gold and silver. It was paper backed by gold and silver, but ultimately it was gold and silver that was the cash that was king during the Great Depression. I'm going to bet that it's going to be the cash that will be king again will be gold and silver coin. If I'm right, you need to get some. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
You know, I just want, we do have a caller before we get to Wayne. I just wanted to make a statement here. You know what? You're absolutely correct. The bond market is going to collapse. And there's people out there that are telling folks to get involved in bonds. And if you want to be in, if you believe that and you want to be in bonds, fine. But get those bonds insured with gold and silver. Don't let it be your only investment out there. There's strong voices out there, and I know you guys are confused. I know the listeners are confused. I know the people that I talk to every day are confused because they hear so much conflicting information. They hear all the right things about what is happening to this country. They hear all the right things about, you know, the problems that we have and everything that Al just discussed in the last segment. But then as the closing, they get pushed into all these different types of investments, all of these different type of paper investments that we talk so hard and try to help you folks understand the difference. And so get protected with gold and silver. And we're more than here to, we're here to help you. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. We still have the specials from yesterday, a quarter ounce $5 Liberty gold piece along with 20 silver eagles and for $700 and for the Swiss franc, brilliant uncirculated Swiss franc with 20 silver eagles for $600. We have a caller, Al.
Yep.
We have Wayne from Texas.
Hello, welcome. Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Great information as usual. I'm glad you tuned in today.
Thank you.
The reason I was calling was, yeah, tonight we're going to all have a walk down with Obama in his wonderland here. And And I'm sure one of his crowning achievements is going to be talking about the jobs and how the low unemployment rate and everything. And I just wanted to point out that the other day we were told how the economy produced like 292,000 jobs. The stock market bumped up a little bit. But what we weren't told was in the same time frame of December, 1.3 million people filed for the first time for unemployment. Almost a factor, 4 to 5 times what was supposedly created. And then in November, they said 252,000 created. In the same time frame, 1.07 million filed for unemployment. So that amount of people filing for unemployment, how does the rate stay so low? And we know it's being massaged, obviously. But it just shows how clueless the media and general public is as to what's really going on right under their nose.
Yeah. It's, you know, what I'm reminded of, whenever we really, whenever I look at this and I think about it closely, there are verses in Revelation where they talk about in end times, Babylon is destroyed. End times, Babylon is destroyed. And if you go along with it, the sorcery by which it deceived the world, not just itself, it's the sorcery by means of which it deceived the world. Now you may, I don't know if you look at the Bible at all, Wayne and the rest of that, and you may remember that verse better than I do. But the point is, what sorcery has deceived the whole world? And I'm looking, and I am unable to see anything other than a debt-based monetary system. To me, that's the sorcery that has deceived the whole world. We have people who are out working and dedicating their lives to pursuing more little pieces of green paper, which are nothing but debt instruments. They're not working for assets, they're working for debt. They're not working for payments, they're working for promises to pay. And it's happening globally. It's not just something we did in the United States. These green pieces of paper are lusted after around the world, and they're all debt instruments. They're nothing but promises to pay. None of them are payments. Nothing but promises to pay. I think, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I read the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm a bit of a student, but I look at it and I think this debt-based monetary system, this is the heart of darkness for the whole mess we're in. And it's astonishing to me that the world has accepted this. Virtually nobody has said, this is crazy. How can the world be that stupid? It's almost like the good Lord put blinders on people where they can't see the truth. It's astonishing to me. And yet, there it is. You know,
it is crazy, but I think what's even most insidious about this debt-based monetary system is the concept of title. People working their tails off trying to buy those cars and houses. They're using these instruments, and in final analysis, they come down to where they don't own anything. They might have equitable title for use of this stuff, but they don't have legal title.
That's right. They don't truly own their own property. It is, they used to say, this was a country where a man was, his home was his castle. He was the king. He owned it. Now you don't. Right now, you're all just sharecroppers, ladies and gentlemen. With this debt-based monetary system, because these green pieces of paper are loaned into circulation, you don't own the little green pieces of paper in your wallet. They were loaned into circulation. They are debt instruments. You get to use them, and based on that, this is a complex argument. If you're not familiar with trusts and the difference between equitable title and legal title, I know that this is the sort of thing that most people won't easily understand. But because the currency is loaned into circulation, legal title to those green pieces of paper still belong to whoever loaned them into circulation. You've only got equitable title. You have the right to use it. You have the right to possess it, but you don't own it. Part of the reason they can tell you, you give you a ticket if you don't have your seatbelt fastened or you don't have insurance on the automobile. It's not your car. you've only got equitable title. Legal title, guy that really owns it, which is the state of Texas or whatever, whichever state you're in, who owns your automobile, they can mandate you have insurance because it's not your car. It's not your option. If I own the car you're driving, I can sit back and I can say, look, as a condition of driving my car, you got to guarantee that you're going to keep this thing insured. I don't want to have my car. I don't want to lose my car, get into a wreck or whatever. I need to be compensated, and it's up to you because you are driving my car. Same thing's going on as a car appears to be going on based on the use of a debt-based monetary system. Contrary to our freedom, contrary to our liberty, contrary to everything we imagine, we suppose we have been conned and deceived as a nation and as a world in a way that there's not one man in 10,000 that can comprehend us. You know, I think it was Rothschild who made the comment, I won't be able to quote this precisely, but he was talking about controlling the monetary system, and it can be controlled in a way that not one man, I don't remember the number, I think it was a million, it was his comment, can understand. That's where we are. Nobody gets this. Everyone is being deceived, and they are being placed in great jeopardy. All of us are in jeopardy. Even if you understand it, you're in jeopardy, but you might be able to do what you need to do to mitigate the damage that is coming, to protect yourself against whatever's headed your way, my way. It's going to come to everybody. It won't be fun. Nobody's going to do well. But some of us are going to survive, and some of us are going to perish. And one of the keys to that survival may be having gold and silver at your disposal, because the rest of the stuff's going to blow up in our faces. At least that's the way it appears to me. Wayne, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you have more to add to that?
Yeah, you're right on the money. You know, and again, I've listened to you for years and read some of your publications, and you've been preaching this for forever. And you know, only the folks that have been wise enough to really pay attention and put two and two together here, not come up with six, like, you know, Common Core, can figure this out. So, I mean, you know, you and Melanie both have done an enormous job in getting us educated, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne. We appreciate your appreciation. And it's good to know somebody gets it. You know, these are such complex ideas, and they are so counterintuitive. You know, everybody thinks, most people think a different way. And it's so much easier to run with the herd and agree with them. I think the way everybody else thinks, you know, that's more comfortable. But,
absolutely.
You know, I'm unable to make sense of that. It's hard. And I would imagine you have a similar problem. If you understand these ideas, you've undoubtedly tried to explain them to people in your life. Maybe your parents, maybe your spouse, hard to say. And you get that look. Or they just, their eyes either glaze over, or they start to squint at you. They say, what's wrong with that boy? What's wrong? And then it's time to talk about the Cowboys or about the Super Bowl or whatever. Just switch, just forget it. They're not going to listen.
They bring it back down to the level they can all figure out. So,
yeah. What time is Dancing with the Stars on? Yeah, all right. Then he's okay. He's watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, boy.
We live in interesting times. You got anything else for us, Wayne?
I think that's good. One other quick point, though. You know, when you talk about the term silence is consent, go back to my original point here. You know, the fact that the Republican Party, who claims to be so anti-Obama and everything else, they are so silent on these some of these figures, like I talked about unemployment and everything else. It just shows the collusion between the two major parties. So,
you know what I think it shows?
Pretty clear.
I think it shows, you know, I think the national debt is a form of quantitative easing. I'm beginning to suspect that. If we live in a debt-based monetary system, the national debt is not an accident. It's a necessity. We have to create more debt as a basis for presumptive wealth. And it's up to the government. If you and I won't go into debt to buy a new house, a new car, or whatever, the banks can't loan any money to us privately, the government has to go deeper into debt to generate this illusory wealth that they treat debt as wealth. So when they create more debt, they're in theory creating more wealth. As nutty as that sounds, I think they have to do it. I think the Republicans know that. At the top, the leadership level, they understand we're in a system that's as crazy as Alice and the Red Queen. I mean, this is Alice in Wonderland kind of stuff. I think the Republicans know that. They have no choice. They can't tell the public. They're going to stand up here and sound as crazy as I do sometimes when I try to explain this stuff. Republicans aren't going to try to explain it. They're just going to say, here we are. We're caught in this debt-based monetary system. We have to create more debt. That means although we will argue that we're going to be fiscally responsible and we're going to do what's best for the American people, the truth is we have a debt-based monetary system, and the logic of it means we must create more debt. Does that make any kind of sense to you, Wayne?
Not even maybe. No way.
You don't think it does?
Yeah, crazy.
Well, what I'm trying to get to is, do you think the explanation I'm offering is crazy, or do you think the way the system is
operating? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. Your explanation's right on the money. It's just some of the crap we hear, you know, in the media and from the politicians, is total nonsense.
I think they're caught in this, and they can't tell us the truth. And that's part of the reason the Republicans are trapped is, we're fiscally responsible, but we're going to go deeper into debt. Why? Because we're in a debt-based monetary system. They have to go into more debt to create what passes for wealth. As nutty as it sounds, it's crazy, it's insane, and it lays the foundation for... We sit around, we watch the stock market. People watch the stock market. A lot of people on this program have sensed there's a disconnect between reality and the stock market. There's a disconnect between reality and the price of gold. Gold is supposed to go up in a time of crisis. It's been going down for the last several years, for God's sake, when the crisis just gets deeper and deeper and closer, and the price of gold is going down. How can that happen? It's because we're living in a world that's completely different from what we imagine it to be. There are forces at work, and to my mind, I trace them back to the debt-based monetary system. I think that's the fundamental madness that has characterized our economy, our nation, the world, and sooner or later it's going to bust up. And when it does, we're going back to the reality of gold and silver, and those who have it will do well, and those who don't are going to be in great jeopardy. We're out of time. I want to thank you for your call, Wayne. I want to thank all you folks for listening. I hope some of this program made sense to people where you understand it. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Wayne, Jim from West Virginia, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, always sunny in a